Hey, this is Bob in the Don't Die podcast, brought to you by Ohana Fest down in Dana Point, and brought to you by Live Nation, bringing you concerts all over the world. It all begins with getting off drugs, people. Let's go out and live life. Get sober, get the right treatment for you, and stop dying.
Chuck, that's what we do around here. Though I might have almost died this week, but let's get into that later. Can you imagine if two of your three... Chuck, what if I died? You'd be left alone, Chuck. You'd have to get your son, then your son and my son, and you would do Don't Die.
I'm not alone as long as I have Elijah.
Oh, there you go.
Thank you.
That's right. No,
that's all I need.
You got to follow the rules here, Dad. You can't be...
I had a thing. I had a cold.
It was not a cold.
But for old people, Chuck, colds are not good. And I recently entered old peopledom. I turned 63 years old in February. That is, like, when I say I'm 63, for some reason, last year I'd say I'm 62, and people go, oh, yeah, that's all right. 63, they look at you like, are you okay? Do you need Medicare? Are you retired?
Do you have a Fitbit?
Yeah. So I got the thing called RSV, I think it's called, and old people get it.
I thought you were trying to sell that.
My RV. I want to get rid of my RV. So I was thinking of trading my RV to the guy that fixes furnaces. If he'll fix my furnace, he can have the RV. But I think maybe it only costs like $600 to fix the furnace. But we can work it out. Anyways, get back to me almost dying last Saturday.
There we go.
RSV is just a common cold, but for old people, all of a sudden your upper lungs fill up with fluid. Just like I had a cold for like a month. I think everybody heard me coughing on here. And then on Friday, I felt awful and I was filled with congestion. Saturday night, I swear to God, I couldn't breathe. I would sit a certain way and I would stop breathing. It was the scariest shit ever. And I'm in the middle of transitioning for insurance, which means, you know, I can't afford insurance and I'm not an employee. So I couldn't go to a hospital. I didn't know what to do. I just sat up all night, kind of in this one prone position. And then I called Dr. Drew and I said, I think I'm dying. And he goes, you're an idiot. You know, like, and the similarities between Dr. Drew and Keith Morris are unbelievable. I'm the only person on earth that is very close friends with both of them. And like,
yeah, there's a reason. Talk about straddling two worlds.
Drew jumps on you. Just do it. What's your problem? So he told me, look up RSV and see if those symptoms fit. 6 out of 7 fit. Chuck, do you think I have it? You still got to get some tests. You still got to get $1,000 worth of tests done, Chuck. I think I had it. I think I still have it. So I was put on oxygen, and I was put on antibiotics and an inhaler. And now it is 6 days later. I don't feel great, but I feel like I'm not dying. So I am adhering to the rules that Mike Mart failed to adhere to.
Oh, no. You know, there's a 14% chance that it's not RSV. You only had 6 of 7.
Right. So I never experienced anything like it where, you know, even with COVID, you were more scared of COVID than when you got it. You were like surprised it's not that bad. Right?
I know, there were people that it worked them. It didn't me, but
I was vaccinated and it kicked my ass.
Yeah. Well, this was scary just for one night. Like Drew explained all. There's pockets in your lungs. There's little pockets, like millions of them, and they just all fill up with snot and you can't breathe. That's great. It's fucking awesome. So anyways, so there are 2 day trials and tribulations, urgent care, doctor's office, talking to Dr. Drew. I talked to probably 6 or 8 doctors and nurses and a couple of, you know, the people that run offices. They all said, this is like This is the worst thing, and they can't. It's all day long. I was in Palm Desert too, because the oxygen out here was better, and I felt like I could breathe better. But so my oxygen levels were low, and this woman who won urgent care said, "We regularly have people go right from here to the emergency room, and by the end of the day, they're intubated. They're like on a ventilator, but no one's dying of it. So it's not really, you know, top media attention, but it sucks. So here's my advice. There's a vaccine for it that apparently Dr. Drew tried to tell me a year ago or 8 months ago to get the vaccine. Apparently, I think there's a misunderstanding. I don't think he told me.
I think he probably said, "Bob, grow up. You're stupid if you don't get it."
Yeah. There's so many vaccines to get if you're by him. You got to get the HPV and you got to do this and you got to do that and you got to get this vaccine and that and the flu shot and this. Like, when you're friends with a doctor, it's kind of like, you know, you pick and choose what you want. I should have gotten this vaccine. I fucking should have. Yeah. And so if you're listening to me right now, Smitty, Wiley, all the people my age, get this fucking vaccine against RSV because it sucks. I had this panic Saturday night. I thought I was dying, but maybe I was just not getting enough oxygen and whatever. Then I thought I was in a hospital. Then I walked out here in the living room. And I was like, this is not a hospital.
Yeah, you were hallucinating, Dad. You sent me a video of it. It was terrifying.
I got that too. That was not.
I thought I was talking to a nurse. I was like, oh, God, it was fucking scary as shit. So get the RSV vaccine. Now people are going to say, it's fucking bullshit. It's fucking brainwashing. I don't know. If you want, if you're over 60, you should get the vaccine because you could have a couple nights like I had. But I'm good now.
I like the fact that people will say it's because you got a vaccine that you got this illness.
Oh, probably, yeah. The COVID vaccine got
you. Yeah, got you, RSV.
Right. And then in the middle of this, on my day two on the medicines, one of Elvis's friends from school died of fentanyl. Eighth grade, Chuck.
There's no way. Is he in eighth grade?
No, he's in seventh grade.
Oh, my God.
This girl is so beautiful. Oh, my God. It's so, so fucking sad. And all the kids at school are sad. He wanted to go to school the next day. And I was like, you don't have to go. And he's like, I want to go because, you know, his girlfriend, friends with the girl. And it's just so sad. You can just look at the kids' faces. Like, none of them know what to think. A lot of them don't care whether they live or die either, but the reality and physical loss of a human being they were in class with yesterday, it was palpable. It was, you could feel it. And then, it was just fucked up. So I know this other mother whose 14-year-old daughter died of fentanyl last year. I think I've talked about her. So I talked to her at the school. I said, hey, she has a stepson that goes to school. I said, hey, you want to go down to Elvis's school and talk with me? I want to talk to the kids. I want to like get some fentanyl awareness going. And she goes, sure. And we have an organization, Rachel's Angel. So then I talked to school and I don't know. We're just going to keep having this because people are just going to keep being ashamed of their kids dying or ashamed of, like, this whole idea that bad kids die of drugs and good kids don't. America needs to get their fucking act together. That is not true.
I don't think that that's as common because it's hit enough communities and homes, and they've said the same thing that, you know, it's like, that's the difference in the drug game is that it can be as simple as one bad decision.
Yeah, but then why can't we talk about it right when it happened, Chuck? Okay, everybody, the gang's all here. Here's everyone. I'm doing the podcast. They're coming back from the pool.
Hi.
Oh. Hey, buddy.
What's on your face? Doing? What's on your face? You're eating chocolate.
Eating chocolate in the pool. Oh, my goodness.
Okay, that's kind of like smoking in the shower, but I used to do that, too.
All right.
Hey, Sydney.
It's Elijah.
Hi, buddy. How you doing?
There he is. He can't hear you. But okay, you guys go take a bath. You gotta take a bath. Say bye bye.
Bye. All
right, get the chlorine off. So no, I know that, like, if you confront good bad, of course everyone's gonna say, oh, nobody's saying that, Chuck. Nobody's saying that. But if you can't talk about it, like, isn't that kind of shaming? And they never clear it where you can talk about it. You know what I mean? I've just decided, like, enough is enough. Like, we need to talk about this shit immediately when it happens.
Well, it should, because people, there's an awareness. It's like, I can hear things a whole lot better when I'm in a situation where I'm also feeling big. I don't know why that is.
Here's the thing. But when, yeah, big feelings, like they say in the kids' circles. So when Matthew Perry died and I said, oh, it's drugs, and everybody's like, no, it's not. And Jennifer Aniston's like, no, it's not. He was sober. I was talking to him. He was the happiest he's ever been. Bullshit. I've known the guy for 25 years. He was fucking high. Bull fucking shit. Then, Chuck, 2 months later, the autopsy report comes out. He's high. And the one person that remembered that I kept saying he's high said, do you feel better now that you were right? Like, why does everybody have these visceral responses to things? Well, if people die of cancer, are they like this? No. You can talk about cancer right when somebody's diagnosed with it, like Kate Middleton just announced today. She has cancer and it's pretty serious. And she talked about it. Why can't we talk about drugs and drug overdoses and deaths? Why? What is the reason? Everybody, all the adults in the room, tell me what the fucking reason is that when Matthew Perry dies, you can't say, oh, that's drugs. You're attacked if you do. If Michael Jackson dies, you go, oh, he died of drugs, right? Let's not forget, he died of drugs. Oh, why do you say that? Well, because hundreds of thousands of Americans are dying of drugs, and we need more drug awareness and more drug treatment and more drug education for young people. But if we keep ignoring the fact that Michael Jackson and Matthew Perry and Prince and Tom Petty all died of fucking drugs and start talking about it, instead of right. As soon as this kid died, like, nobody wants to talk about it because it's not right yet, Chuck. It's not appropriate to talk about it.
The most terrifying thing is how is this a 14-year-old kid in an arts magnet program dying of a drug overdose? And how is it, I guess it's general knowledge talking to Elvis, that these kids are all taking prescription pills. And it's like, how is that not already a discussion?
Well, but here's the new thing. So I'm talking to the mom who's kind of the leader of Claremont because she lost her daughter last year. I mean, that's kind of so sad to say. And her boyfriend said, you know, Bob, they're mixing fentanyl with the pot vape.
That's how she died. And
I
was right?
Like, yeah, that's how she died. I didn't know that yet. And I said, why would they do that? How do they do it? Doesn't it come like in a container? Like, so there's actual people out there, Chuck, in Orange County, in the Inland Empire, in Encino, making cartridges for vapes. Putting a little bit of fentanyl, a little bit of liquid marijuana in, maybe a little bit of speed. Let's put a little bit of speed in there too. Is that insane?
Yeah.
It's marijuana and fentanyl in a vape pen?
That's
in a cartridge so that it's easy and you have no idea. But I mean, whether they know or not, and I think it's sad that people are worried about famous people being maligned or
having
their reputation tarnished when someone like Prince has such a larger reach than if I died tomorrow. If I died tomorrow, there might be 100 people that knew affected by it.
Right, right.
But not millions.
I believe the autopsy report is part of the conspiracy. You don't need fucking 2 months to figure out what Matthew Perry died of. You don't.
24 hours. You can get blood results within 24 hours. I don't know why they I don't know why that's ever the thing. I think it's to check and double check. And I think it's because of our litigious nature of our society and people not wanting people to be defamed.
And I'm not, I hope the families of Prince and Tom Petty and Michael Jackson and Matthew Perry can understand. Yes, they are four of 122,000 a year. And we have to use them because we're a celebrity obsessed culture to as talking points. And it's not disrespecting how great they were. Well, no. Matthew Perry, I didn't like Friends, but Prince was a god. Prince was a god on earth. Because he died of drugs didn't take away what a genius he was. Tom Petty was a great songwriter. Made some of my favorite albums, by the way, not the ones you think. The first two, I love the first two.
But his thing actually goes deep. It's just a lot of it hits different moods. His catalog is amazing.
But you understand that the argument is if you talk ill of the dead or you talk about their drug, what they died of instead of what their life was about, then somehow you're disrespecting them. I'm not. I hated Friends. I thought it was okay, fucking awful. I fucking hated
it. But that doesn't help anything.
It helps. You know what? It's important to be fucking honest. I'm not going to sit here and say, "Oh, I was the biggest fan of Friends. It was just so great." Like I watched it three times. I wanted to throw up.
Okay, so
but I liked him. He seemed like a cool guy.
But you made a good point earlier, is that because Tom Petty is a good person, because Prince is a good person, because Matthew Perry did good things for good people, we don't want to shame their death with the drug use. But if it's Johnny Thunders, we all know he was a bad guy.
Or Johnny Depp, by the way, people making a mockery of his on that stupid trial.
Right.
Like that was the talk of the world. Him throwing up on himself and taking drugs and her videotaping it and all that horrible, hideous shit that went on. That's an addict. That's what they were talking about.
Right.
Most of that stuff was an active addict.
While they're alive, it's okay. If it sells clicks. While they're alive, it's fine. When they're dead, and it could cause a real, a culture shifting conversation of responsibility as parents and as members of the society. No way.
It could hurt somebody's feelings.
Yeah, but it's even more important when there are people that have been alive a long time. And Tom Petty never hid his drug use. He was an experienced drug user, right?
Hilarious stories.
So he was an experienced drug user. Prince had his little baggie, his little leather thing that said opiates on it. It's like he kept his stuff
like purple embroidery.
Yeah, but notice it was like a leather satchel that said opiates that had all his stuff in it. So it wasn't like these guys were brand new at this. They had been doing chemicals for 30, 40 years, maybe longer.
And we're talking about 14-year-old girls.
Yeah.
I feel like Alan Iverson right now. We're not talking about a game. We're talking about practice. We're talking about 14-year-old girls are dying in this country every day from drugs and suicide. What does America do about it? Shame anybody that wants to talk about it.
Yeah.
That's exactly the fucking truth. Because I want to talk about it all the time. I want to talk about it even when I don't have death around me. I want to talk about drugs, suicide, mental health, addiction in America. We are 7% of the world's population. We take 50% of the world's drugs. We are the number one abuser of opioids, number one abuser of alcohol. We are the highest mortality rate of despair death in the history of civilization. Yet nobody talks about it. They all just watch the Kardashians on Hulu.
And wonder why they're depressed.
It's fucking madness. You watch a guy like Kanye West. There's pictures of him over the weekend. If you look closely in his eyes, at his face, that is a homeless person on San Julian Street. He just has $500 million. He just has $500 million. And he has everybody. Imagine if we just took some crazy person that's got bipolar disorder and drug addiction and mentally ill and put them in the power position that Kanye's in. They probably do the same thing, have their wife walking around naked and go wear a black mask and go everywhere and, you know, and intimidate people and talk about the Jews and talk about the Holocaust and Hitler. That sounds like a mentally ill homeless person, except for it's Kanye West and he has $500 million. And everybody's like, oh, he's a genius. Not anymore, he's not. Have you heard his last two or three albums? Not what I would call a genius. And no one's trying to help him.
Well, so what? So if we predict, since it's not a drug-induced psychosis, that you think it's an organic mental illness?
I don't think he's admitted it. He talked about his diagnosis right after. Didn't he have a record, Elijah? Something about bipolar?
Talked about it. He talked about it point blank. He talked about it in front of what I can't remember if it was the Apple offices or the TMZ office.
No, but he had a record or some T-shirt made that says "I'm bipolar" or something.
Yeah, his album cover
said he was bipolar. Chuck, I'm not gossiping. The guy talks about it himself. So when he's floridly psychotic and on a manic, he's probably, when I look at the trajectory of him, he's been in a manic state since the Super Bowl. That was like a month ago. Like, I don't think he slept since the Super Bowl. You know what I mean? He just looks disheveled and he looks sad and he looks angry. He looks on the verge of violence. It's sad. And nobody doing anything except for like, you know, every report of his next crazy naked wife stroll to, I guess they went to, what's the place that I hate? The cream cheese factory. They went to the
Cheesecake Factory.
They went to the Cheesecake Factory. They're just standing there. And she's completely naked, Chuck. She walks around with high heels, completely naked. And everybody's like, oh, can we help you? And, oh, well, let us get you a table, Mr. West. Instead of like, what the fuck's up with you two? Get the fuck out of here.
There's kids
here.
If
it was a normal person, they would have been asked to leave.
Or arrested for indecency and be charged.
In this day and age, they don't arrest anybody for anything. I think I lived through that. But no, they just tell you to leave.
I got naked in the Cheesecake Factory, I'd get arrested.
I'm working on my figure, but I think there'd be handcuffs for me too.
So anyways, I think that unless you force the issue to talk about mental health and suicide and addiction and the celebrity culture, the obsession in America with celebrity is like, it's got to be now. It's got to be when these people are going through their things to get some sort of idea. So the mom of the girl that passed last year said, what are your main things? What do you think should be done? And I was like, usually I'm about Narcan and fentanyl testing kits. I don't think 14-year-old girls that are vaping fentanyl and
weed,
pot,
right,
but yeah, are going to really get great value out of Narcan or fentanyl testing kits. We need to talk. We just need to talk to our kids.
Yeah, they don't think that it's something that they're dealing with, and they're all.
They don't care. Listen, but you're not. You don't remember what you were like when you were 13, Elijah. They don't care whether they live or die. They talk about suicide all the time. The music they listen to celebrates suicide.
Yeah.
You know, we really.
You know,
gotta,
dude. You know
that's
what?
For parents, like when your kid's listening to. One of the songs on this new record, this record that everyone at the school likes, is 2019 was the first year I called the suicide hotline. That's the name of a song.
Yeah. Is the artist alive? Is the artist alive?
You know, I saw a thing the other day because I'm keeping track of my thing on Spotify, and I saw a thing that was a playlist. It was like, feeling sad? We do too. And I clicked on it, and it was just all these horribly depressing things that you can go on Spotify and just click this feeling down, and it's all that sort of stuff where it's just like, a lot of it's not even music and the way I think of music, but it's just kind of mumbling over stuff, and it is completely depressing.
And screamo and-
but it's just like the idea that you can, on your phone, if you're bored, look up your feeling down playlist and just,
and you could wallow in it and go down a rabbit hole, both, you know. So the point is that parents, communities, teachers, we all need to talk. You said something earlier, Chuck, that prevents the talking, which is lawsuits. Nobody wants to talk because you might get in a lawsuit. So, you know, it's just crazy. Like, I've been pessimistic. I'm an optimistic. I've been trying. I hope for better, whatever. Elvis's generation is the generation I believe maybe will be different, but they got some of the problems themselves. Like, millennials weren't killing themselves and weren't all depressed all the time. They were already arguing with you at 11 years old that they knew everything, right, Elijah?
Well, they knew some stuff, but they were given the reins. We let them speak.
Chuck, your son, who's a millennial, was living with me, right?
Right.
And the communication that you guys had, it was the same as me and Elijah in certain ways. It was just like there was love and intent to do things differently, but every time we got together, kid just had its own pattern. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's got its own patterns, and we got to break those patterns. But instead, we indulged the little kids and we indulged the young adults and treated them equal. They're not equal. Here's my new thing. I got a good rule. I think it's a fail safe. Tell me if it's wrong. Tell me if it's prejudice, you guys. Tell me if it's unfair. You are not equal to me if you're on your parents' cell phone plan.
You've been saying that for 25 years.
are you on his cell phone plan?
No, he's not on his mom's.
No. You know, you'll be surprised to know that at 35, I got my own cell phone service.
You poured the number out?
No, me and Kyle just take care of it together, and because he gets a crazy military discount, and then now I got this new job. It's crazy. My new job pays for my phone, my car insurance, all this shit.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Nice. Hallelujah, bro.
Hallelujah, real job.
That's what sobriety does. See, all the cash and prizes you could ever want. Just don't drink and take drugs and you'll get everything you want. Thanks to the Lord Jesus. Okay. So
wait a second. That is good, but I can tell you that the people that I've been seeing a lot in treatment lately all have government issued phones. They're not on anybody's plans.
Yeah,
and they have the government multiple phones.
The government replaces the parents.
Okay. I can. So if you don't have your own, whether it's Uncle Obama or mommy or daddy or mommy's girlfriend or daddy's boyfriend, Papa Tito, or whatever it is.
Papa Tito. So I worked with somebody who grew up in Yugoslavia, and you were programmed to kind of believe from a very young age that Tito, the fascist dictator, was kind of your dad. He was kind of everybody's dad, and they called him Papa Tito. So nowadays, I don't think it's a Trump or Biden or Obama or whatever. I think it's the warm, fuzzy bureaucracy is your papa. That's your papa. the warm, fuzzy, they just give you money and they give you everything you need, health insurance and vouchers and this and that and the other thing. What was it called? The Andrew Wang thing? What was his thing called again? He had a name for it. I have low oxygen levels. What's your two excuse?
Universal basic income.
Yes, universal basic income. Do you know what that means, Chuck? Because you're born, you get money from Papa Tito.
Okay. Wow. Well, hey, that's cool. See?
yeah.
they can pay my rent because I'm alive, so I deserve free money. You know, we do that in America. When I see people that come into treatment with four kids and pregnant again, and they're not worried about how they're going to make ends meet.
See, is that a fair? Is that a just society? I think that I probably supported the idea that moms should be helped, or single moms, or whatever. But now you see it long term act out, and the multi generational kind of way it works.
It is creates weird. A Papa Tito.
It is weird. Well, here's the other Papa Tito: is with the COVID relief checks. You know, like a lot of the people were transient, homeless, whatever, and they didn't have their ID or they didn't fill the paperwork out, so they got these bulk sum checks. And I swear to you, I watched people in sober living get checks for like $8,300 and gamble it away on an app on their phone.
Oh yeah, because they couldn't leave the house to buy drugs.
I guess, I don't know. That's another thing you see about Otani. Oh my God, I'll make a prediction. That fucking translator wasn't betting $4.5 million for himself. Did you see this about the big new Dodger, Otani?
No. What? I don't.
There's a federal investigation into him. There's a Major League Baseball investigation into him. He paid a bookie $4.5 million.
Against, oh, you gotta see against it. Against the Dodgers? Like the Dodgers were gonna lose or not make the
No, press. He wasn't on the Dodgers. They don't know that it was about baseball. But I don't think athletes can bet on any sport. Can football players bet on baseball?
I have no idea.
I'm sure they do.
Definitely can't bet on baseball, because that's why Pete Rose was banned for life, because he bet on baseball. And then his argument was, I always betted for myself. You can go back and look at my bet. I wasn't fixing shit. I was betting on myself like all great champions should.
Good point. But that's also insider info. You know, so, but I mean, I just saw that. What's his name? That little gangster, Bruno Mars?
Bruno Mars is not a thug.
$50 million.
So the big joke is, yeah, he owes the casino in Vegas $50 million. The problem with Otani is it's illegal to pay a bookie. So then he tried to retract that, and said, "Oh, the interpreter stole the money from me." Like, how's an interpreter got betting $4 million?
It doesn't matter. He'll say, "Yes, I did."
The whole thing stinks. The whole thing's, oh, it's going to blow up so bad. Somebody made a joke to me yesterday that since the translator now has been fired over this $4.5 million, and Otani needs a new translator, and somebody suggested Bruno Mars. help him in many ways, because Bruno Mars is bilingual. So if Bruno Mars could help him with the translations and also learn how to gamble legally in Las Vegas, that would be too
right.
That would be killing two birds with one stone, Chuck.
He would be a life coach and an interpreter.
and a gambling partner. Here's my conspiracy theory about this. The city of Los Angeles, the Los Angeles Dodgers. Do you know how much Otani is going to be paid to be a Los Angeles Dodger, Chuck? Are you ready? Wait. Are you sitting down?
What position does he play?
Pitcher
and designated hitter. You ready for his entire 10-year salary?
10 years.
$700 million the Dodgers are paying him to play baseball.
Wow. That's crazy.
So get this. In the city of Los Angeles, one of the most corrupt cities in the history of Western civilization, you've got the city of Los Angeles, who's been celebrating Otani for 6 months since he signed, and the Japanese and the whole thing. And oh my God, we're such a great city because we have this melting pot. And so the city of Los Angeles has a vested interest. The Dodgers certainly have $700 million interest. The LA Times, who's basically at the will of the city of Los Angeles and the Dodgers and advertisers, they're treading very lightly on this. When the story came out and Otani just said, yeah, he's my friend, he's my best friend, I paid his gambling debts off, I I paid $4.5 million. He's my friend. When they said, that's a felony. You can't pay a bookie millions of dollars. They regrouped, and 12 hours later, they said, he is not my friend. He stole $4.5 million from me. And then they fired him.
It was a language barrier.
So, and you're talking about Japanese people where it's still very shaming. And this is going to blow up like nothing in sports ever has. Not since the 1919 White Sox. This is like the biggest deal in sports.
What is 1919 White Sox?
It's the team, the whole team threw the World Series.
They threw the World Series. You didn't know that?
Yeah. No, I thought that happened all the time.
No, Chuck, you're such a cynic. You're awful.
I don't trust sports. I just don't. No. I don't trust anything I don't see from the get, and I don't understand it. I really don't. I don't have the sports team. Oh, it's not my fault.
Only one World Series has been thrown. That was the 1919 World Series. But a World Series was stolen by the Houston Astros from the Los Angeles Dodgers. But that's a whole nother story. But this is insane. And what is gambling, Chuck? It's a disease. It's when you're gambling $4.5 million, you think you got a gambling problem?
The idea of, you know what, I'm going to double up on the next one.
$700 million. Losing $4.5 million is still that's not $20. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
1% would be $7 million. That's a 0.5% of his entire contract he lost gambling in the last few months. That is addiction, either of the translator or Otani or both of them. What if they're both just out there buddy-buddy gambling? And so the Dodgers just went from the World Series favorite to like fifth, like until the Otani thing gets resolved. Other teams are favored by Vegas to win the World Series. You can go bet on other teams.
Favored by the betting pool.
Yeah.
That started the whole thing.
The people that make money off people guessing wrong.
The question is, how do we deal with this society? You got suicide and gambling and drugs. Kids are mixing fentanyl with marijuana and vape pens. Like, listening to the saddest music in the world. What is wrong? Because I got up this morning happy I could breathe. You know, happy it was Friday because I hate driving the kids to school every morning. School sucks. Can I just tell you? Why do we have schools? Why didn't we not have schools, Chuck, for like 2 years and everything was fine? Why do we?
Yeah, but that drove us crazy too. If we remember back, that wasn't always ice cream and giggles.
This driving, because in the beginning I was like, you know, I try to be a good dad and okay, we're gonna get up and we're gonna go, and then through the whole 7 months, it's just like Elvis isn't awake. Holy fuck! Now we're late. Now I gotta bring Sid. Now I gotta come back at Elvis. He's gonna be late. It's every morning is this chaos because one goes to school in Claremont, one goes to school in Pomona. It's rush hour traffic, by the way, at 8 a.m. in the IE, Chuck. I don't know if you're aware of that. Why do they start schools at the same time work starts? Could it be that schools are just daycare?
They're training for the workforce.
No, they drop their kids off and go to work.
Yeah, it's training to get them up and to go and do things they don't want to do for a whole day.
I can't wait. I went online and counted the days down. There's 57 school days left till summer break. Isn't that kind of like what 12-year-olds do, Chuck?
Yep. It's 63 and 13 at the same time.
You know, it's cold in the morning. It's some fucking, aww. I gotta poop.
Poop talking. Yeah, and it's been a while since we've had poop talk.
Let's talk some poop. So if I get up, like, Sid has to be at school at 8:15, Elvis has to be school at 8:30. Their schools are about 20 minutes apart, so you do the math. So we have to leave the house at 8 sharp. We have to be at the light down the street from our house at 8:02 is the latest you can get everybody to school on time. So sometimes I wake up and then I lay back down and then it's 7:45 and I'm like, holy shit. Luckily, Sid's pretty responsible. She's brushed her teeth. She brushed her hair. She got dressed. And then I got to get her lunch together and get out and go, right? And then got to get Elvis and blah, blah, blah. Let's go, let's go, let's go. And, but if I get up at 7:45 and I drink two double shots, like is my morning routine, and I'm in that car, I get a little tummy problems, Chuck. I might have to go to the bathroom. So many morning, I get Sid to school and I tell Elvis, you're going to be late. Then I have to pull into the park across the street from Sid's school and use the public restroom where it's the nicest restroom in the world. It's not the nicest. And then I drive him to school. But sometimes I can make it to his school. And then on the way home, traffic is even worse because it's 8:30 now. Now all the people are trying to get to work at 9 o'clock, and people are stacked up and there's construction and whatever. So a couple of times I've had to pull off, and of course there's no public restrooms. The McDonald's, you have to have a code, you have to buy something first. Right. Sometimes I don't have time to buy something, Chuck. I just need to use the restroom.
Well, your problem is you poop in the morning. You should poop at night before your shower, and then everything's, you're done. You're good for the day. You're good. You got a whole next day to get through.
So anyways, I want to admit it. Two times I had to emergency poop in the last couple months, and I found a good spot.
Just out on the else is doing it. Why can't I?
Yeah. There's a whole homeless encampment. The whole thing's a toilet. But here's the thing. Like two weeks ago, I did it and a car pulled around, right? Usually people don't go to this far corner of the parking lot because one of the stores is abandoned or whatever. A car pulls around, made right eye contact with me. I'm squatting down pooping in the bushes right off the parking lot. Guy makes eye contact with me, doesn't even blink, doesn't have a face of disgust, doesn't say fuck you, doesn't park and get out of his car. What are you doing? Which would have happened until the last 5 years, it would have happened, for sure in any kind of civilized society. Somebody go, what the fuck are you doing, dude? Right? Now they're just like, yeah, got it.
Hold on, Dad, were you stopping and confronting people mid shit?
No, I've
never bothered anybody while they're.
I was confronted yeah. by Martin Lenoble one time. Oh, Martin Lenoble confronted me one time. I got in his car and he said, What is that smell? Smells like shit. And I was like, yeah, I had to go to the bathroom outside and I don't think I did a good job. And he goes, you need to get out of my car. What's wrong with you? And I was trying to get to the Puerto Papyrus house so I could take a shower or something, And he was like, it smells like shit in here. Yeah, it's like that. I used that house. I used many houses to tidy myself up. Did I ever tell you this story? It's in my book. I don't think Perry would mind it. This is a great rock and roll story. So Perry had a girlfriend who apparently her dad was in the Chinese mob or something, or the head of the Chinese mob. Oh, that's how the story went. So I'm out at the Porno's house. They were there for like a year making that album, right? At this house that they were recording at. And so Martin was my connection. So I stayed in his room or slept on the couch or whatever. And people were used to having me around once in a while. And so Perry had this girlfriend that the dad was disapproving of the relationship. Who wouldn't be at that time, 1991, 92? Do you think you'd want your daughter to be going out with Perry Farrell in 1991? I don't know.
No, nobody would. I don't know that
whether
I'd want that
the
today.
Chinese mafia or not, they would not
Yakuza,
want
Yakuza, huh?
Huh?
No, that's the triads of the Chinese.
Triads, Chinese. What's Yakuza? That's Japanese.
Yakuza,
so,
Japanese.
So get yeah. I don't know which mafia it was. I was high on crack the whole time. So, but wait, but let me tell you this. So he comes in the room where I am, and he's he's elevated. Is that a term that we'll use? Like kind of elevated. Okay. Like Kanye West is kind of elevated. So Perry's very elevated. He's animated, and he's got a gun. He's actually got two guns. And he hands me a gun, and he says, "They're here." And this thing with their parent, or, you know, the hit squad on him had been going on for several weeks. And I was like, I don't think so. And I looked out the front window. And I was like, no, they're not. Because usually you could redirect them, right? He's like, no. Quiet, they're in the house. And I'm like, I think you've been up all night, right? We go all through the house. There's nobody there. He points downward. They're under the house. They're in the crawl space under the house.
Of course.
Yeah, of course. That's where all hitmen
hide. They crawl under the house and shoot you through the floor.
But we were walking around for like an hour. Wouldn't they have shot us?
Yeah, you guys needed to sit still longer. That you're lucky.
So we go outside. And by the way, we did indulge ourselves in between the time as we were walking around.
Oh, good.
I was now on the mission also. I'm a lieutenant in the Perry Farrell Army. We're going. We're gonna defend our house. It's one of the few times I held a real heavy gun. So you got a gun, we get flashlights, we're going down there, Chuck. We're going down there and we're gonna confront them. And I think their manager at the time held the crawl space door for us so we could both get down in there stealthily, like punk rock Navy SEALs. And we go down in the crawl space, and it was pretty tall, like 3 feet. And we're like, and so he starts going to the left, and I start following him. He goes, "No, around." Now I immediately know, no matter how high on drugs I am, if I go around, I'm going to be the thing that he sees. I said, "No, let's stick together." And he goes, "Okay, good idea." and we went through the whole downstairs crawl space. No one under there.
They got out before you got down there?
We did some investigating. There were some Mountain Dew cans down there. Uh-oh. And there were some fast food wrappers. So now at that point, when I see that.
Uh-oh, you're on board.
And I'm like, holy shit. Everybody knows Chinese hit people love fast food and Mountain Dew.
Mm-hmm.
Is a hit squad kind of, I would think that's what gives them the go. Mountain Dew's got a lot of caffeine in it. So then we go out back upstairs, and we felt like we had defeated them. It was a great feeling when we went back up in the house. There was a confidence that they were scared of us, and they had run away. They saw us, and we were armed, and we were dangerous, and we were out of our minds, and they ran for the hills. That's my story.
That's good. That's
a good one, right?
You saved Perry's life.
I imagine. He was left out. He was left out there alone, Sergeant, if I wasn't there.
Yeah.
They could have taken him. Two Mountain Dews. Two Mountain Dews means two hit squad. Two hit men.
Like anybody could drink two Mountain Dews alone. Of course it was two people.
No, when you're they can serve their stuff. They can't carry a lot because they're out on a mission, right?
I forgot. I forget my training sometimes. It's been a long time.
Telling this story, so everyone's going to say, why does he tell these crazy stories? My point is, it was fun, and it was harmless. It was fun, and it was harmless. It was lucky. If I would have gone to the far end, if I would have split up in the crawl space, I would not. There would be no don't die. I'm sure of that. Something would have gone terribly wrong. So... But the point is that I don't think these kids sitting around depressed and attempting suicide and being so sad to me that your life is over before it's begun and you didn't even enjoy it. And we got to do something about this. There should be a school. There should be a platform for people to talk about things. Like, I don't know. I don't know. It's just the saddest thing. I know two little girls that are dead. It's just fucked up. Just totally fucked up. And here's the thing. I was talking to a friend of mine, Paul. Like, in his whole middle school and high school, he doesn't remember one person dying. He's like 5 years younger than me. Can you imagine how many kids, by the time they're in eighth grade, know kids that have died?
It's insane. Yeah, that it happened in their school, right?
And shootings and suicide and drugs. We're the sickest society. If we don't see these things as symptoms of how sick our society is, we're never going to get anywhere. We're not. These are not bad people making poor choices or they didn't have access to the right therapist. This is a sick society and our children are dying. And that those are symptoms of how fucking sick we all are and how sick the society is and how broken this country is. That is really the truth. And so I don't care who's fucking president. I don't care who wins. I don't give a fuck. This society is sick. It needs to be rebuilt. And the extreme capitalism we live with and the fucking bureaucratic Papatito bullshit and the college students yelling at everybody that we're all assholes. Like, it's gotta...
The middle-aged white people yelling at everybody that we're all assholes.
I'm not saying people are assholes. I'm saying we're a sick society.
No. I'm not talking about you. I'm saying the MAGAs to the radical left, college students to the all the way across the board. Everybody division.
Right.
Most MAGA people I know, some of them aren't so bright. That's true. Some are not so bright, but the mainstream MAGA radical Republicans, most of it's about woke culture. It really is. It's not about taxes or policy. It's just about being told what you can say and what you can think in a free society. And you know, that's a strange thing that you can have a society that says it's free speech, but if you practice it, you will be destroyed.
But without blowing up the whole thing, which sometimes seems to be the only answer, it's the only answer that's made any sense to me for a long time because it's been broken for so long. And if primary parties put up candidates that are so unsavory to people and they don't do the right thing when it comes to it, because it's more about them, their team, they just want their team to win. But even teams trade players and even teams sacrifice for what's best for the team.
Yeah, nobody switches parties anymore.
No. And nobody's willing to take that risk.
No, that's not true, Elijah. You don't know enough people. A lot of my Republican friends have become independent, registered independent voters.
I'm talking about career politicians. I'm saying career politicians.
Oh.
But voters, yeah, voters move wherever their conscience takes them. I get that.
Well, and that's where it needs to be. And that's why when I have to do a write-in on my primary ballot, because I'm American independent, because I couldn't subscribe. And because I watched the insanity. I wish we could get a third person that causes enough dissension so that the parties would see they have to do better.
Maybe it's Kennedy. It might be Kennedy. Here's one thing a friend of mine who's a big Kennedy supporter said. He said, Bob, people are going to walk into the ballot box. The last thing you vote for, President of the United States, is going to say, Joseph Biden, Donald Trump, Robert Kennedy Jr. That's a powerful choice right there. The Kennedy name is so embedded in our DNA. It's going to be a weird thing. If you hate Biden and you hate Trump, you might have not even thought you're going to vote for Kennedy going to the polling. You might vote for Kennedy.
Yeah, but that's why the media is not covering him at all.
Well, they're going to have to because he's going to get on the ballot in all 50 states. So they're going to have to. The media, here's the thing. The media love the ratings of Trump and they're on the blue team. So, like, what are you going to do?
For the for the blue side, I think we're going to have a record non-turnout. I really do.
Well, I'm going to vote like I did in 2016, Chuck, and I'm not going to vote that last thing probably. Yeah, I'm going to look. I always go late. The great thing about voting, the great thing about voting in California is you already know which way the wind's blowing by the time you're voting, right?
Yeah. It's already, but that's why I'm saying the dissension vote.
Hit that Kennedy button.
And you know what? To be honest, after it's happened, I'm not going to tell anybody which way I went because I don't want to discuss it with people. I make a decision. And I've made the decision and I've casted the vote. It's done. There's nothing for you to change my mind about.
But here's the thing. I'm pretty open about it. People always say, well, why did you go if you didn't vote for president? Because the things locally are more important. The things you don't even know about. The things you don't even care about. You know, whatever.
Assessor?
County,
yeah.
They're the ones that get to say what happens. They could take your home in eminent domain. it's like, no, I saw it happen on Vine Street. There was this crazy lady, Elijah knew her. She was next to me and Flea's favorite smoothie place on Vine, just below Hollywood Boulevard, right? Yeah. And she had a wig store, and it was a freestanding building, right? And she wouldn't sell it. And the whole, you know, Eric Garcetti's going to redevelop Hollywood Boulevard and they're going to build the big W Hotel and they're going to put in a Trader Joe's. The smoothie place moved around the corner on Hollywood Boulevard. They're like, cool. Yeah, you're going to give us $100,000. We're cool. We're going to move. And the Brown Derby got torn down, all these. So this lady won't sell. Eric Garcetti, a guy I helped get on city council and then he became mayor, used eminent domain to force her to sell her wig store building. It's important who you vote for locally, right? Now, we made so much money from the W Hotel and blah, 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 I'm sure. Yeah, but that lady got her property taken from her by the government. How's that any different than Russia? How's that any different than Yugoslavia and Papa Tito? It's not. We just tell ourselves it is because it doesn't happen all the time. All right. We got to go.
Yeah.
We got to go to AA. We do. Chuck's got to go to rehearsal. I got to go do my inhaler. See you later. Don't die.
Don't die, Bob.
Don't die.
I'm not going to. I'm not going to.
Take care.
Thank Dr. Drew. Don't thank me. I was negligent. I didn't take care of myself. I didn't listen. I didn't get the vaccine. Thank Dr. Drew. I am alive today because of Dr. Drew, I believe.
Thank you very much. Good night.
Good night. Good night, gentlemen.